Well, give the Lord a praise and a hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. I am more than I really have words to express. I could say it to you in tongues, but I'm... How great and grand an honor it is to be invited into this church and into this meeting. I wonder... I wonder if you really know. How marvelous it is to be in the presence of excellence of ministry like this church. All this music that blessed us so tonight. And there is a very, very distinct difference between performance and anointing to minister. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the difference in the world. And to be in a place where you can completely and totally open up your whole spirit and all of your soul and know that there's not anybody going to take advantage of you. A ministry of excellence. Oh, Brother Copeland, I would just love to go to church here. Well, why don't you? Well, no, you don't understand, Brother Copeland. I live in California. Well, that's your fault. You don't see me laughing, do you? Why don't you go to church here? Well, Brother Copeland, I couldn't just up and leave my job and so forth. So then your job is worth more than where you go to church. You give more value to your job than where you go to church. Well, no, now, Brother Clinton, wait a minute now. Don't go crawfishing on me because you just got through saying that. I would move in a heartbeat. To have a place like this, to bring my family in here. I tell you what, I don't care whether I got money enough to come or not. That's not the issue. Money's not the problem. Faith is the problem. The only answer that is correct is, Brother Copeland, I know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that I am in the church where I am supposed to be now, so I couldn't without God's permission come to this church. Now, that's the proper answer. So now you can come every time they have a meeting, you can come here. That's the only legitimate answer to why you ain't coming here. I don't care where you live. Well, Brother Copeland, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go to church. Well, then that's even more the reason why you need to come here and find out how to listen to the Lord and then find out where you're supposed to be in church. Let me tell you something. The local church is the most important thing on this earth. It is the most powerful thing on this earth. It is the very life and body of Jesus. There is nothing on this earth more important than where you go to church. It doesn't exist now that we understand one another. Thank you again, Pastor, for this honor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We honor you. And we bless this place. In Jesus' name. Lord, we come before you tonight. We humble ourselves to your word. And we thank you for it. We alter our lives to fit your word. We never, ever alter your word to fit our lives. And tonight we open up to this word and allow it to change, organize, reorganize the all, the ins and the outs of every thought, every cell of our being, spirit, soul, and body, everything we are, everything we have, everything we do. Thank you for your word. Not one person will leave this place. Not one person will turn off their television. Not one person, not one, will leave tonight untouched by the power of the living God. We declare it, we believe it, and we receive it. In Jesus' holy and blessed name. Amen. Well, give the Lord another praise and then you can be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, didn't Miss Candy sing to us tonight? I'll tell you, she and Stephen are such an asset and blessing to the body of Christ. Well, in fact, I hadn't run across anything in here tonight that wasn't, have you? I'm telling you what, I'm ready to go tonight. Praise God. Did you bring your Bible with you tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Veronica, you are looking delightful tonight, beautiful as ever. Holy Ghost women just got it. They got it, haven't they? Yeah, I tell you what, I know. I live with one. Somebody has said, how do you live with somebody that's that anointed? Very carefully. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, if you would, please. The 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. And let's read the 4th, 5th, and 6th verses. Matthew 15. No, let's read it. Let's begin with the 3rd verse, please. Jesus answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Your traditions, he said, have caused God's word to be without effect in your life. Now, folks, now listen to me. I've been around long enough to see. I've seen the economy go up and down and up and down and up and down. Now, all of the, you know, if you live long enough, you see it all come back around again. Because the way this Babylonian system operates, it operates in phases. And you, something you think's new, I saw 50 years ago, you know, something like that. And because it can't function any other way. They're just on a revolving wheel, and because sin always causes death. And so their system works that way all the time. Now, look with me in the book of Ephesians for a moment. Hold your place there in the book of Matthew and look with me over in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. Verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ. Let's read it like this. At that time, you were without the Anointed One and His anointing. So now, without the anointing, you don't have anything to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Being aliens from the common wealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants, plural, of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, that's a sad deal. But I'll tell you what's even more sad is somebody that has accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, even baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues and so forth and so on. But because of church traditions causing the Word of God to be in no effect, they are without the anointed, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They don't even know they're supposed to be wealthy. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Oh, they can quote Bible verses. But tradition has caused those same verses not to have any effect. For instance, I've heard people say grace. Say grace? Yeah. Before we eat, we got to say grace. What scripture is that? Why don't we say Julie? Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. And then in the prayer, for Jesus' sake, eat it and get sick. Prayed for tradition's sake. You know, but nothing in the Bible says to pray over your meal for Jesus' sake. He's not going to have to eat this mess. You are. You ain't praying for His sake. You ought to be praying in the name of Jesus and expecting something to happen to the food before you eat it. Now, folks, let's go back over there to the book of Matthew, please. Think about this. The man and woman that insist on living by faith. I'm not talking about somebody just kind of hit and miss. you know, well, yes, we're faith people, and quote Mark 11:23 a couple of times and then go on and act like the world. No, that's not the people I'm talking about. There are people, there are Christian people, there are people that know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And when they die, they'll go to heaven. But the Word of God has little or no effect on their lives Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and doesn't have any effect on their lives even when they go to church on Sunday. And that the Word has nothing to do with what they think or what they say, particularly with what they say. They're not insisting on living by faith. And they are Christian people. I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about good people. But they are not disciples of Christ. There are churches that are named disciples of Christ, and they're not a disciple of Christ in there. You can look at all kinds of denominational structure and all of that. But what Jesus said, what he said about prayer, what he said about health, what he said about food, what the Word says about all of these different things doesn't have any effect on the way they think or what they do. A disciple is one who is disciplined and training to be just like his master. And everything the master says, that's the word right there. Not, well, I think about this, you know, and me and mama, you know, we always thought, ain't nobody cares what you always thought. It's what Jesus thinks about it, and he thinks about it, what he said about it. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus wear a Rolex? Now, wait a minute before you holler yes or no. Do you know what you're talking about? I ain't going to answer the question for you. You're going to have to get in the Word and find it out for yourself. Oh, don't have to set stuff out. How would you know whether or not he would wear a Rolex? Or anything else about him? You have to go find out how he thinks. Well, how would I even know such thing as that? You remember the woman that opened that perfume and poured it on his feet? At today's prices, that was worth somewhere around $50,000-$60,000 that she poured on his feet. More than one of his staff members said that was a waste. So now, they ain't gonna wear a Rolex. Are they? Now, ain't no way that group gonna wear. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, but we could have sold that and given that to the poor. We could sell that Rolex and give it to the poor. Now, I'm telling you, you better wait a minute now. You know why? Because that's what Judas said. Now, you done classified yourself on the wrong side of the room, brother. So as I research this, I have to look and see what Jesus said when that woman spent $60,000 on his feet lunch. Come on. And the whole group said it was a waste. You gonna tell me, listen, that hurts my heart, brother. You gonna tell me that, I don't care if it was $1 million. I don't care if it is $1 billion. That ain't no. There's not anything expensive enough to put on the feet of Jesus. Not for me, there's not. Oh,
glory to God.
Yes, sir. There ain't enough gold in this planet to honor him with.
Yes, sir.
But now, what did he think about it? Here was a great opportunity, and they said, "Oh, baby, put that back in that box, because we can sell. You know, we need to give something. You don't need to be putting that on me now. That's not right for you to do that." Better think about it.
That's right.
Amen. If it would honor the Father, he'll wear the Rolex. That's the only reason he does anything. The only reason why he would give you a Rolex is because he loves you.
Amen.
That's the only reason he saved you. That's the only reason he baptized you in the Holy Ghost. He didn't save you because you had faith. He saved you because he loved you. He didn't heal you because you had faith. You have to have faith to make the connection. But he didn't do it because you had faith. He heals you because he loves you. That's the only reason he does anything in the earth. That's reason enough. That's the reason for life, is because God loves you. That's a good place to just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. The man, the woman that insists on living by faith and insists on absolutely keeping the commandment of love at all times will never have to change the way they live or think because of the economy, because of famine, because of good times, because of bad. No, they never have to change the way they live. Because the economy has no effect on the way they live. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They live the same way all the time. The economy has to change to accommodate their faith and the love and power of God. They change economies. And we're going to see that tonight. Thank you for it, Father. All right. You cannot afford to allow anything to cause the Word of God to be no effect in your life. You cannot afford that. That is far too expensive. It is far too expensive to get out of love. It is far, 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 far too expensive to walk in fear and not faith. It will kill you. Amen.
Amen.
Now it ain't gonna be long. You think you're young and feisty and all that, you probably are. Good looking and know it. But it ain't gonna be long, you're gonna be old as me. And you just keep going on and not paying no attention to what the Word of God says about food and what the Word of God says how to think and what the Word of God said. And we can just, you understand that. And and have two heart attacks and diabetes and a bad ear by the time you're my age. Too expensive. The doctor that gives me my physical a couple of times a year, and I'm not talking about my aviation physical, I'm talking about the really, really super thorough going over that our doctor does with me. He gave me an EKG, not this last time, the time before that I was there, it was the last year. He's looking at this thing, looking, and he's running this thing out there, and he said, "Kenneth, do you mind if I put this on the bulletin board?" I said, "Why?" He said, "You got the heart of a 16-year-old boy." I said, "Yeah, put her up there. Put it out there where everybody can see it. Amen." And right up there, Jesus did that. Amen. Now, I'm not trading that just because I want to eat some pig every morning. That's all I'm going to say about that tonight, I think. But go back and find out what the Bible has to say about it. I know all the excuses. But they don't work. It caused the Word of God to be of no effect. You can't afford that. You can't afford it. So now, let's get into this a little bit deeper here. Let's talk about, well, let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Let's go next door there, one chapter. Verse 14, are you there? Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. It didn't say he was moved with a feeling of compassion. No, it said he was moved with compassion. Compassion is not a feeling, it's a person. God is love. You can be moved by God and not feel anything at all. Just because you didn't feel something doesn't mean there wasn't any power in it. Obedience is what releases the power, not the feeling. Now, I want you to see that because it ties very closely into what we're looking at. And when it was evening, so they've been out there all day, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place." Would you please underline that or mark it however you do in your Bible? This is very, very important information. This is a desert place, meaning they're at least some distance from any city or village or town. They're out there in the middle of the desert. And there's a reason for that. There's too many people that none of the towns would hold those kind of crowds. And we know from count here there's over 20,000 people, at least that many. This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. You give them to eat." Now, what's happened here? Actually, if you think this through a minute, circumstances, situation has created a mini famine. This is a famine type situation because there ain't no food out there. And it is a ways from there to any of the villages. Amen. And probably no one village has got enough money, or got enough food rather, to feed all these people. I don't care if you had money enough to buy it. So we got us a situation here that wouldn't be any different if you were in a famine. Because there ain't no food out there. You understand?
Yes. That's right.
So now notice this. They said to him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Oh, that's always the first thing to do. Now, before we get any further, because when we get on down in here, I don't want to sidetrack to say this. So I want to say it up front. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care where you are or what the need is, particularly for some bad, hard thing that's come. Tithe something. You don't have to wait to get your paycheck to tithe. Go find something and tithe it. What do you mean by that, Brother Colton? Well, I'll tell you what I mean by that. Tithing is not done by plunking something in the bucket. No, that's the tithe or the offering or the gift. Tithing is done with the mouth. Now, you go look it up in the book of Deuteronomy, particularly the 26th chapter, and you see that tithing is done with words. Faith is done with words, right? We know that. So tithing is done with words. And the only thing that limits you and your idea of tithing is your traditional thinking about it. I can tithe anytime I want to with anything I want to that means anything to me. Go search through your house. Find something that means something to you, something that's a treasure, and go get on your face and tithe it. Go through the tithing process. Because every time somebody tithed, God blessed. And every time God blessed, somebody tithed. You go look it up for yourself. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the blessing of the Lord would come, and they tithed. They tithed, the blessing of the Lord would come. What are you waiting on? What's holding you up? Oh, Brother Coleman, I never even thought about that. I know it's your traditions in your way. So that kept those tithing promises. Bring the tithe into my house, and I will pour you out, blessing you, and got any way to contain it. What's holding you back? Huh? Well, I never thought about doing that except when I get my pay and I take my 10%. Well, that's your fault. You get into a traditional way of thinking about, of course you're supposed to be doing that. But what's wrong with me tithing in the between time? I'm talking about what happens when you tithe something you give to God. When you go through the things that he said, you do this, I do that. Well, why don't you go do it? 4, 5, 6 times a day, if that's what it takes. Well, that's the reason you're broke. Your tradition caused that word not to be as strong to you as it could because you really haven't seen the power in it. But you will.
Amen.
You will. Probably before we get done tonight. Yeah. Amen. Now, bring them here to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now, let me find somebody here to pick on. I'm not going to pick on. But I will say this. Now, Pastor Winston, let me ask you a question. You pray over your food before you eat, I know. Yes, sir. Because I know how you raise. And you do that. Yes, sir. He blessed and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. What do you pray over your meal generally?
Just a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this food. We receive the blessing, sanctify it, and nourish, strengthen our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Huh. You think that's what he said?
Oh.
It don't say what he said. You think he said, Father, bless this fish to the nourishment of our bodies. Bless this little boy that brought them. Now, wait a minute now. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. Now, if you go back, let's go back over there to the first chapter of Genesis. And I challenge you and charge you to go take your concordance and however you study your Bible and go find out all of the places where God blessed and find out what he said. That isn't hard. Now here in the 22nd verse of the first chapter, God blessed the animals. And God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea and let fowl multiply in the earth. Then down here in the 28th verse, he created man in his own image. And he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, resupply the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now the only difference when he blessed the animals and when he blessed the man, he gave the man dominion. So in the blessing of man is dominion over the earth and over all living things in the earth. Now, let's move over then to the 9th chapter. The flood is over. Chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and resupply the earth. See, God doesn't change. Now, let's study this for a moment. The word blessed means two things. It means the same thing in Hebrew, Greek, and it means the same thing in English. It means, number one, to say something good about. The second thing it means is to empower. Now, I could say something good about you, and you would enjoy it. But if I said it by faith, it would empower you to be what I said. For instance, let's go back over there again now and look in that first chapter in the 28th verse. God blessed them. And God said unto them, he actually said, fruitful be. Multiply. Resupply the earth. Subdue it, have dominion. Amen. Now, before he said that, Adam was not fruitful. He had no way to be. I'm not talking about just having babies. Get babies off your mind here for a minute. Dear Lord. Babies were a big part of this, but I'm telling you what, the baby got to have a place to live too. And that's a big part of it, because this man was responsible for spreading that garden all over this planet. And we know what it was like when he got out of the garden. It was a sorry place to live, because he was the one that was supposed to be fruitful and resupply that.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
He was supposed to do that, yeah. But he didn't have the power to do that.
Right.
He didn't have the power to do anything. He's in the image of God, but he don't have the power of God. So what happens? God calls things that be not as though they were. Not are. Were. It's important. He calls things that be not as though they already had been. He calls a sick man healed as if he never had been sick. You listen to me now? He's the blessed one. In fact, if you go find an English translation of the Hebrew Bible that the Jews have translated into English, you go find out and look what it says. In the beginning, the blessed one created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Well, I mean, who blessed him? The reason you think like that is because traditional thinking has stolen the power of the word blessing. And it doesn't even have anything to do with the reality of it. And it got down so far that when somebody said, God bless you, didn't mean a hill of beans. And you see president after president after president after senator after congressman after mayor after mayor after mayor, God bless America. Don't even know what he's talking about. Don't have a clue. That's the reason we ain't been getting anything out of what we've been praying over the food. Now we know what he said over the fish and the bread. Fish and bread. Fruitful be. Multiply. Resupply this field full of people with the best they ever had. Be subdued. little fish. Now you know what he said. Now start praying that over your table. If you anything like me, you sit there for a few minutes trying to figure out how to pray this thing. you know, been praying over my food for 45 years, but just this morning found out what to say. It's kind of embarrassing. No, think about it. Now, and I got to tell you this, we'll get on into this in just a few moments. You don't ask God to bless your food. He never told you to ask Him to bless your food. You were supposed to be blessing Him. Abraham, well, let's just go and look at it now, because some of you are looking at me like, well, he's gone too far now. Let's go to the book of Romans. I'll tell you, I don't know. You know, I've been in this ministry for 45 years, almost be 45 years in January. And I never do talk about going to the book of Romans. It just flashes across my mind. I see myself walking out across the campus there at Oral Roberts University. And I just got all my books. And just the first day or two of school, and I'm looking down at my books, and I'm headed over to my first class, and I got this book that says Roman Through Romans is the name of the textbook. And I thought, Roman Through Romans. How could you roam through Romans when you ain't never read Romans? It just dawned on me. I've read a bunch of verses out of the book of Romans, but I ain't never read the whole book. Now don't look at me like I'm the only one that ever did that. If somebody would take your promise box away from you, you wouldn't know what to do with your Bible. So I decided I better read the book of Romans before I start roaming through it. And I was glad I did. Now, fourth chapter. I want you to notice something here now. Verse 16. It is of faith. Say that with me very slowly. It is of faith. That it might be by grace. So now you can see by that grace, God's grace, is so important to God. You know, he's not looking at your ability or what you know or what you don't know, where you've been or where you're going. He's not looking at that. Hey, that doesn't have anything to do with it. What he's looking at is his eternal plan for your wealth beyond all you could possibly imagine. Your goodness, your kindness, you're the wonders of your life, and a happy, joyous life to where you just giggle most of the day. I got so caught up in praise and worship tonight. Oh, the choir's up there. I'll bottle that choir up and take it home with me, man. Wow. And I'm just sitting there just enjoying this. Weren't you? I mean, it just seemed like we just took us up to another place. And I'm sitting there, oh, and right at the close there, and it was, oh, man, I'm telling you, anybody in Illinois could have prophesied in that right there. It was so good, man. And I'm sitting there, and the word of the Lord came to me. He said, you can have these moments at any time. He said, you can have these moments first thing in your day, and I will cause your whole day to be like that. If you just take the time and exercise your faith for it. The music just makes it easy. but it's His presence that is so sweet. And He's always there. He's always there. There's a woman stopped Brother Roberts. We were coming out of the meeting, and she stopped him, and she said, "Do I understand you to say that you just talk in tongues anytime you want to?" And he smiled and said, "Why, yes." She said, "You mean you just turn God on and off anytime you want to?" He said, "Oh, no, no. I turn me on and off. He's always on. Thank you." Don't that sound like him? Sounded like him. He said, "He's always on. It's me I turn on and off." I thought that was so precious for him to say that. You can see what His will is. I want you to live like this. I want you to be hooped to do and let's do it again, you know, all the time. I had him say to me one time, I was on the platform, the praise was just going and going and going, and I mean, it was just marvelous in my eyes. And I was enjoying it. So, and the Lord, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Kenna, if it hadn't been for sin, I never would have had a serious thought." And I thought, is that right? Now see what my traditional thinking was doing to me? If it hadn't been for sin, what would it be serious about? There never was anything serious until death came in. No, it had just been praise and kick it up and have a good time and just bless God and just, you know, whew, heaven. You tell me when we're going to have a serious meeting in heaven. There ain't going to be one.
"We got to get serious about this now."
You're in the wrong place, Bubba. Take your whole armor off and put it over there in the corner. You ain't going to need it here. You understand? Oh, my goodness. Bill, do you enjoy preaching as much as I do?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we're blessed, ain't we? Glory. Now listen. "Therefore, it is of faith, so that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed." Now, what seed is he talking about? "And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What promise? What he promised Abraham.
Right.
Everything he promised Abraham belongs to you in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
"Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations." Now notice the word "before him." Talking about before God, whom he believed, who quickeneth the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. You remember that's what we were talking about?
Yes.
All right, now look. My Bible has a cross-reference there on the word "before," or "like him." Well, it means both things. It means Abraham, like God, calls things that be not as though they were. So what's he doing? He's blessing. God said, "I bless you and you bless. I tell you, be fruitful and multiply and resupply the earth, subdue it and have dominion over it so that you can speak in my name and tell others to be fruitful and multiply. You say it. You do it. Remember Hebrews 3? Jesus, consider the apostle, one that God sent, the high priest and apostle, Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So this is what he is anointed to do and anointed for. Holy brethren, partakers, well, turn over there. I want you to put your eyes on it. Third chapter, first verse. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So he is anointed to be the high priest of our profession. Also translated confession. The literal meaning of that word translated profession in some translation or confession in others, the literal meaning of it is to say the same thing as. All right, isn't that I only say what I hear my father say? Well, how are you going to do that? You got a book full of what he said. Don't say other stuff. You seek the Lord and he'll give you the word to speak. Now, so it means both things. This is so important. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations. Like God, and in God's presence, Abraham calls things that be not as though they were. He not only does it like God, he does it before God.
Come on, come on.
Right in his presence.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Now, traditional thinking would say, oh, I'd never do that. You know, I can't act like God. I'm so unworthy. Why are you so unworthy? Well, I'm just unworthy. Well, why are you so unworthy? Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's your traditional thinking, stealing everything you have. I'm not worthy in the presence of God because of anything I did, except I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. But in his name, his blood, his word, I am worthy to receive whatever God says about me.
Yes.
And he says, I've been made the righteousness of God. Wait a minute, no. In him. I'm in him. But that's only half of the story. He's in me. Yeah, that changes everything, brother. So, like him in his presence, I call things that be not as though they were. Those things that are cursed, I bless. To bless is to say something good about. To curse is to what? Say something evil about. You're supposed to have said amen right there. Now, come on, guys. Now, I understand I get a church full of white folks. They don't know when to say amen, dear God. But you're supposed to know. Thank you for letting me pick on you. Hallelujah. Bless. say something good about, what am I supposed to be saying? I'm going to say about you whatever God's already said about you. Oh, you know, I can compliment you, and that is a blessing, but actually, that's not a blessing. That's a compliment. Right. Well, yeah, Brother Coleman, but it was a blessing. You don't know what a blessing is. That's the reason you think that was a blessing. I'm not trying to be funny here, but think about it. We have so belittled blessing until that's what it's come down to. Let me say this to you. You are not blessed because you're rich. You are rich because you're blessed. When I found this out, are you kidding me? When I found this out, I was $24,000 in debt. Now, I mentioned this a few days ago. A friend of mine was in the there at the ministry, and one of his friends was with him. I had just met the man, and he's one of these guys. Oh man, this guy is one of those fellows that's really just super smart and intelligent, and I said something about being $24,000 in debt in 1967, and I said, man, you know, that'd probably be like a quarter of a million today. And he said, oh no, wait a minute. And he did not get a calculator out of his pocket like mine. I couldn't even read his. And you know, it was a whiz machine. He said, and he figured out the whole thing, what it would actually be worth today. $740,000. Now, what are you, some hillbilly like me today, didn't know one thing from another about the Word of God, 30 years old, enrolled at Oral Roberts University as a freshman, oldest freshman in the world, I guess. Scripturally illiterate. And you owe $740,000 plus. And God miraculously delivers you from it in 11 months. And there's a lot of it today. I don't know how he did it. It just went away. Amen. But faith was at the very root of it. We just began to learn how to live, walk, speak the Word of God, and determined, absolutely insisted of ourselves to walk it in excellence, to walk it in integrity, and absolutely have no compromise and no excuse. I heard Brother Roberts preach this, and it just burned indelibly into my heart. And he was preaching his famous message on the fourth man. And he said, if you bow, you burn. If you don't bow, you can't burn. And whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. To preach the word without compromise. If it said by his stripes ye were healed, then ye were healed. That's it. Making difference how I felt, looked, smelled, or anything else. Didn't have nothing to do with it. If it says I'm the righteousness of God, then that's what I am. And it's just a matter of time that all of the symptoms and the outward look and everything else, it's a matter of time. That'll change. Because the word will change facts. Facts can't change God's word. But the word can sure change the facts. Well, I found out these very things, that we're the seed of Abraham and that the blessing of Abraham was ours. And I thought, well, if everything God promised, I didn't know what he promised Abraham. Then I said, well, I better get in here and find out what he promised Abraham, because it's mine, that's for sure. And boy, it didn't take long. I was reading the promises to Abraham with my jaw hanging down. Ah. Just really got to me. I went running in her glory one day. I'm hollering in her, Gloria, 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 Gloria. Listen to this. And I read it. I said, and God made Abraham very rich in land and cattle and silver and gold. I said, girl, we're rich now. This thing ain't nothing but a matter of time.
Wow. Yes, sir.
It renewed my thinking in a day. Now, it took a while then, for my thinking was renewed, my mind was renewed. I sensed it. I thought like that. I didn't see lack anymore. And it wasn't but just a few days there. This revelation of it just overwhelmed me. With that revelation, it would be like today, with that revelation and a $255 car, that's what I sold it for. Well, so that would mean today it'd be worth $700. Big deal. I think the guy overpaid that bought the thing from me. But it did have the blessing of the Lord on it. Amen. I'm glad it didn't multiply. I don't want no more of them. No. So, but that's what we started with. I had one suit. It'd been altered so many times. That's the funniest looking thing ever. So I've told you about it before. Because when we left home in December of 1966 to go to Tulsa, and I enrolled in school in January of 67, and this is the only suit I had. And so the Lord spoke to me the day we left to go up there. He said, you get that fat off of you and you get it off of you now. And so that's the last time that I weighed 200 pounds. Wow. And of course, today I'm 100 pounds lighter than I was. I'm about 80 pounds lighter than I was. Now, I had been heavier than I was when I left to go to school. So I'm shrinking up in that suit. Oh, man. That thing is getting funny looking. And I lost another, I don't know what it was, you know, another 10 pounds or so. And I took my suit back over there to the man that was so gracious, and he's altering this thing. He said, Mr. Kenneth, I can't alter this. Through no more time. I said, why? He said, I cut this suit down one more time. You gonna have one big pocket right in the back. And he laughing just like you're laughing. And he did and I did. I put that suit on and those two pockets lacked about an inch coming together in the back. That's the only suit I had. Oh, I'll tell you what, it is awful. I didn't care. And and 11 months later, debt free. Never been in debt since. Personally? No, sir. No, sir. Let me give you some statistics. You're going into this marvelous time all this week. Oh, my goodness. God is going to do and show things in here this week that are going to change the entire economic environment of this country. And it's not gonna take a long time to do it. Amen. Now this, I ask young man that's in our comptroller's department of our ministry that was trained to be a loan officer. He's has a degree in that. So I asked that department, I said, would you guys go back the things that we've done in this ministry since 1979. We started in 67. But in 79, when we began to build our first building and all that kind of thing. And look up the interest that it would have been at that time and see what we would have paid banks in interest had we gone that way. We would have paid since 1979 in interest $42,216,403.22 in interest. So how could I stand up in a pulpit and say every dollar you give into this ministry goes to preach the gospel? Not 42 million of it, wouldn't it? That'd have been a lie.
Yes, sir.
I'd had to go back and say, no, now, wait a minute, folks, I told you wrong. All but what we pay out in interest. Praise God forever. Well, wonder if it would have. Wonder if it would have been better. Our Sunday broadcast started in May of 1979. The daily broadcast started January 1989. We have paid in airtime. And this also includes the radio broadcast. No, wait a minute. This is just TV. In those years, starting with 1979, we've paid $584,210,038 for TV time. Did the blessing work?
Yes.
Well, we have sown into other ministries just since 1983, $191 million. Never had a money-raising campaign. Not my job to raise money. My job is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
What is the gospel? That's a good question. What is the gospel?